Wolves win. Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Two Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis and dialing in from Chicago, my close friend.
Brian, fresh off the protests. It was like escape from New York, trying to get home from downtown Chicago tonight. It was crazy.
Is it actually that intense right now? Like, how many people are protesting? Like, tens of thousands?
It was a lot. It was at least thousands. So I tried to go from my building. I was going to take Lakeshore up, but they had Lakeshore closed because people were protesting on Lakeshore Drive, which is kind of our freeway for those who don't live here, haven't visited. Then I tried to go downtown. So I went one way. There were protesters there. Tried to go on Michigan Avenue, just covered with protesters, had to go back. And then eventually like looped in further up Lakeshore where they weren't protesting. And I made it home after like 30 minutes. But I could see it from my office. They shut down a lot of the city. There was a lot of the cops out.
And I suppose you don't know, but like,
they won't Trump out.
Do they have a permit? Like, are they able?
No.
Like, it's always weird to me, even Minneapolis. I mean, the protests here tend to number in the hundreds, not the thousands, like Chicago. It's weird to me when they like will shut down a street in Minneapolis for like 60 people. And it's like, did they get a permit for that? I know you can do peaceful assemblies, but that's always interesting to me.
Yeah, 60 is ridiculous. Like, really, you guys couldn't stop this? But when it's thousands, I get why it's hard for them to control.
I could see that. You know, the election was last night for everyone listening. Today's Wednesday, November 9th, 2016.
And welcome to the politics pod with Adam and Brian.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get into politics because we're going to lose half our listeners no matter what our opinions are on politics.
Yeah, let's not do it.
Anyways, like I said, today's Wednesday, November 9th. It's been 6 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were again 1-2 during the last week, and we are currently only 4 games back of that top spot in the West. Brian, I forgot to ask you on the last podcast, which is ridiculous, but you're in Chicago. I don't know if you heard, but I believe the Cubs won the World Series. What was it like there?
What?
You're even in the north side of Chicago.
It was pretty cool. I was out at the bar watching the game. I actually had to head home before the end because I got tired and there was a rain delay, and it was like, they were saying on the TV, like, oh, they just laid the tarp out. It's going to take them like 30 minutes to get going, even once the rain stops. I was like, F this. I'm tired.
This was game 7?
Yeah, game 7.
You got tired?
Dude, I don't care about baseball. You know this.
Fine.
But the energy was great. It was really fun to be out there with the people. People in Chicago were really excited. What was cool was the parade was right outside my office building. Just so everyone knows, like, everything in Chicago basically happens outside my office buildings.
Parades, protests.
We're on the 74th floor overlooking Millennium Park in Michigan Avenue, so we can see when stuff goes down. So the parade route actually went literally in front of our building, so that was cool. So I was able to watch a lot of the parade, but there were a ton of people. I saw some post online, which is obviously not verified and probably wrong, but they said it was the 7th largest gathering of humans in modern history.
Wow.
Well, they threw out some insane number of, I think, 3 to 3.5 million, or maybe even 4 million people. And it's like, did you count?
Way.
Can you just throw that out? Like, could I have just thrown up 5 million and some newspaper would have run with it? I would hope they fact check it in some way, but
yeah, there are crowd counting techniques, I know. So hopefully they employed some technique.
One of them?
I'm not going to lie, 4 million for the Cubs parade strikes me as grossly overestimating the number of people there. I think at Obama's first inauguration, there was like slightly over 1 million, if I remember right.
Yeah. A lot of people talked about when the Cubs were here, a lot of people in my office did say this was even more crazy than when Obama won.
Well, 4 times more crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, get into a brief agenda and then we'll actually get into talking about some basketball. We have some news and notes. We're going to talk about our thoughts on coaching so far this year. A lot to sort of break down there. We'll get into the good, bad, ugly for the 3 games this week. And then, depending on time, we'll maybe get another segment in there, but we're probably just going to go straight to the mailbag. Keep the emails coming, guys. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast. I apologize if I sound a little tired. I have jury duty this week, and it just sucks the life out of you. I do just want to talk about jury duty, Brian, because it's on my mind. But I have it at Hennepin County. I live in Minneapolis. So you go to Hennepin County District Court downtown, and the juror pool that you wait in to get called for a jury panel is in the basement of the courthouse. No windows, no cell phone reception, and it's underneath 6th Street. So the room vibrates like when big trucks drive along 6th Street. I mean, it's not like the end of the world. It's just an unpleasant experience. I feel like if you're a juror, you at least deserve like a window. I heard they're remodeling the room, which is positive, but it seems long overdue.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm currently on a jury. I can't talk about the case because it's still ongoing, but hopefully on the next week's episode, I will be able to give a breakdown of that case. Who's excited?
Me. But until then, let's talk about some Timberwolves.
Yeah, first news item I want to talk about, Brian, from being at a couple Wolves games this year, talking to people who have been to other Wolves games and watching on TV, I had the sense the attendance was pretty lackluster so far this year. So I threw it into the old Google machine, and it turns out we are last in the NBA in attendance by quite a bit, actually. So we're averaging 12,996 fans per game. That's last in the NBA. Second to last is 14,670. That's Milwaukee. To give you some context, the median number in the NBA is about 18,000, and the maximum is your Chicago Bulls, Brian, 20,600. So we are just over half of the Bulls' average attendance. Why is this, Brian? There's a lot of hype on the team going in the year. Obviously, they haven't performed that well yet, but I'm surprised by this.
Yeah, I'm not totally surprised. We've never been a big turnout team. They started out kind of bad. So we lost our first two away games really close. So I think people are disappointed. And also the games at home were kind of garbage. It was the Grizzlies and the Nuggets. I think the Grizzlies are interesting. I think most people don't. Same with the Nuggets, as evidenced by a game with 11,000 people, which is freaking nuts. So I think the games have been crappy. I think the Clippers game will finally have some reasonable level of attendance. Or I hope. I don't know. Otherwise, no one will come this year.
Yeah, obviously, it's a very, very small sample size, but it is a little concerning with such a poor turnout in game two. Let's move on, Brian. This is a really pressing news item, but the Minnesota Timberwolves went to go see Hamilton, the musical, as a team-building activity.
Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, which by the way, I love the soundtrack to it.
You listened to it?
Have I listened to it? Yeah, I've listened
to it.
That's
like spoilers.
Many times. I already have my favorite songs picked out. It's like obviously ridiculously hyped, but musically I think it deserves the hype. There's some real gems in there.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. I've met a lot of people who love the soundtrack without even having seen it.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal soundtrack. The real question is though, Brian, who on the Timberwolves do you think enjoyed going to see Hamilton the most?
I mean, obviously Towns is the most enthused about it afterwards. I'm going to go with who like really enjoyed it, though, but kind of kept it quiet, was probably Chris Dunn.
Why? Why do you think Chris Dunn enjoyed it the most?
He's just kind of a random pick. Like, he seems like he would appreciate it. He's a hardworking dude. No one expects him to get where he is, and he can relate, I guess.
I feel like your pick's unjustified, but I'll let you have it.
Thanks.
He can relate?
I don't know, man. I don't really know the story of Hamilton. I'm sure there was some struggle there. Is Hamilton Puerto Rican?
Yes, I think that's correct.
Oh, really?
Well, he was born in... maybe he was born in the U.S. I don't know. I don't listen to the words closely enough. But he's the son of immigrants. So
interesting. A true American.
I'm going with Karl Anthony Towns on this just because I can envision Karl Anthony Towns actually being in the musical boisterously and joyfully singing. Who do you think enjoyed it the least?
The least? Wow, really digging into this Hamilton performance. The least was definitely Belly. Belly did not give a He's like, I don't know why you guys care about this stuff. I don't really get your culture, and I'd rather be at home playing video games.
Man, that's a pretty good pick.
Or Peck, but I just assume Peck not Peck isn't with the team.
Yeah. He tried to go, but he got hurt, so he wasn't able to. Yeah, I don't know. That's a dumb question. Let's move on. Ricky Rubio is apparently making progress on that elbow injury. Still not cleared to play, but it seems like he's not going to be out weeks longer. Reading between the lines, it sounds like he'll be out maybe another week is what I'm feeling. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, hard to say. Tibbs was a little noncommittal. He said something along the lines of, you know, let's get him back into practice and see how he looks and decide from there. It didn't seem to be such a major injury, so I'd be shocked if he's out much longer. But yeah, I'm gonna go over on a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, over on a week's probably right. What if I went 2 weeks?
I'd say that's about right. That feels good to me.
I think I'd take over on one, under on two. Any other news items, Brian, you want to get into?
News items? No. I think that's the big one.
I believe the Wolves do fly Delta.
They do.
Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah. I saw a tweet from Alan Horton with the Wolves playing, talking about them getting in, and I just thought it was interesting. Are you surprised the Wolves fly Delta?
No, I don't know. No.
I would have thought they'd fly a non-branded private jet, maybe with like Taylor printing on the side. But yeah, it turns out they fly Delta like the rest of us. Timberwolves, they're just like us.
Do you think the inside is configured differently?
Yeah, I think the seats are huge because they're huge. And I think they have some facing each other so they can play cards and stuff. They play Boo-ray a lot, as I understand it.
What is that?
I don't know, man. I think it's like spades, but there's some more gambling involved.
Night. How do you know that?
By being an NBA fan. What is this?
I've been in trial all day. I just
just very objective with your questions.
All right, Brian. Let's move on to how the season's going as a whole. And the way we're going to approach this is sort of just give our thoughts on from a coaching standpoint, a few items. The number one thing that has been talked about, I get asked about by friends, what's going on, Brian, in the third quarter of games? We blew some pretty epic leads. Tonight, we actually held on, but we also scored 74 points in the first half. That would have been a tough one to blow. But what's going on with our third quarter play?
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I don't have a great answer. I mean, our defense has been lackluster. We're letting up these huge runs. And then I think once other teams start to go in a bit of a run, our inexperience kicks in. I think we have young guys who, once that happens, try to force it, try to, you know, get all the points on their own. Like Wiggins will drive, or Zach will jack up a shot, or Towns will try a floater that maybe he could have been more patient on. You know, bad stuff just starts to happen, and we're young and we're not used to weathering the storms very well. We're still learning how to win, which is a tired cliche, but I think it's really true. And I didn't realize how important it was until we lost four really close games to teams that are as good, if not worse than us throughout the season. But it's all happened in the third quarter because we come out so strong. We're one of the top teams in first quarter score in the NBA. Like a lot of times I'm watching the games, we've got 20 points by the first half of the first quarter, and it's just freaking nuts. Our team is good at offense, but something's happened in the third quarter. I don't quite get. What's your theory?
Well, I was going to ask you, are you concerned that Thibs is being outmaneuvered during halftime? I know, you know, halftime adjustments is a thing that's talked about in all sports, but it is a real thing. Do you think it's sort of some technical weakness on the part of Thibs, or do you just think it's sort of due to something else?
Yeah, I'm going to chalk it up to being an inexperienced team. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's like massive tactical errors he's making. A lot of them, too, are defensive lapses. I still go nuts when I watch Wiggins play defense. He just floats and lets his guy cut a lot of times and like doesn't get in there and rebounds. His scoring's almost never looked better. He looks great on that end. But so he's part of it. Our dudes, I think, honestly, the thing I've been wrong about the most is that I thought our guys would just kind of magically get better at defense because Tibbs is there. And that takes time. That takes a long time playing together, getting used to rotating and communicating. And that's the improvement that I haven't seen yet. It's been all of our defense that's causing our problems.
I had the same thought as you. I also sort of thought we'd magically get better. And I agree, it does take time. But the one thing I am surprised about is you just alluded to Wiggins floats around a lot on defense. And Thibs is definitely able to show Wiggins, you know, 4 to 5 times a game on tape where he was simply lazy. And I thought that would stop under Thibs, and it hasn't. And I'm a little concerned about that. I thought that's something that would be overnight. The players would be more motivated to play for Thibs rather than Mitchell. Thibs is a little more intense. He has some more credibility as a defensive coach, I think, than Sam Mitchell. You know, that hasn't carried over necessarily to effort defensively, which I'm surprised by.
Yeah, honestly, I thought that'd be the first thing to change. So totally agree with you. That's the difference we all expected, and that's the difference that's going to get us 13 more wins. And when that hasn't manifested essentially at all, like even tonight, we'll get into the game we won, but we gave up 107 points to a pretty mediocre team. Yeah, it just hasn't improved at all. And it's early, but 10% of the season's done.
Yeah, again, I'm going to try not to overreact. There's definitely been some really bright spots, which I think we'll talk about, you know, in a little bit. Overall, it's a disappointing start to the season. There's no other way around it. Rubio being out, though, is very devastating. I don't think that should be overlooked.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, again, I feel like this comes up almost every week, but he's one of the leaders in real plus minus, because when you take him out, you go to a really inexperienced young point guard, and point guard's a hard position to play in the NBA. And finish games. That's another thing I want to talk about. But like, Tibbs doesn't trust Dunn to finish games on offense, and I think that's totally fair based on how he's played. He doesn't really look confident shooting. Because of that, you can sag off him really far and it cramps spacing. So he's actually letting Tyus finish games, which creates its own set of problems. And yeah, if Rubio's in there, at least he can penetrate. He can kind of shoot threes. At least 30% is better than nothing. So that's you're right. That's been a huge change. I mean, I'm sure him playing probably gets us an extra like 6 points a game.
Moving on, there's been some lackluster offensive sets to finish games. Brian, can you expand on that?
Yeah, I can. A lot of the games, it seems like when it's close, and this is more symptomatic in the first week of the season or the first couple of weeks, but a lot of the times it feels like it's just Wiggins ISO, which isn't a high percentage play. I mean, I don't know the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure the points per possession are like 1 or 1.1 at most, because even if he gets a good shot, that's like 50%. He probably gets a turnover like 5-10% of the time and maybe draw a foul. It was probably the best possible outcome because ISO shots are not like typically easy shots. But yeah, it's just really ineffective. We have a lot of talented guys who can play offense. And I think that's why we do so well in the first quarter, is we come out kind of loose. Zach fires up shots. We move well. We have energy. And then in the end of the game, we tighten up. And that's, again, chalk it under that learning how to win piece. But I think we gotta get more creative on offense there. And that's the one thing that I will put on Tibbs, because we have some plays. I mean, the Denver game, I think we ran some nice stuff at the end where there was some pin downs with dudes coming off screens with a number of options, ending up with threes in the corner. Like, those plays are awesome, but we're not running those a lot of the time and we're just not getting good shots. What do you think?
I don't know why we can't integrate Cat into end of game situations more. You can give him the ball a lot of places on the court and have him be effective. You can even give him the ball in the post, you know, not with 3 seconds left, but if there's 8 seconds left, I think that's a plausible play. We never do it. You can give him the ball at the elbow. Again, you probably don't want to do it with a few seconds left. But again, these situations where we have half a shot clock or so, I would like to see the offense ran through Cat on those end of game situations. And I think that's sort of a microcosm of our second half play as a whole, in that it seems like we're going away from Cat. In quite a few of these games, Cat starts off as a beast and then just doesn't really see the ball a lot in the second half. And I don't understand why. He's the best player on the team. He wants the ball. Give him the ball. It's that simple.
He's the darling of the NBA, and rightfully so. This season he's amazing. He's shooting 54%, 45% from three on three a game, which is actually more than I realized. He's doing great. And getting 22 points and 8 rebounds and 3 assists. So
I don't love him shooting that many threes.
If it's 45%,
he's not.
I know you're going to say it's not sustainable.
He's not going to shoot 45%.
Why not?
I also hate how it takes him away from the action. Like, his rebounding numbers are going to be down this year if he's shooting 4 threes a game.
Why?
Well, the three-point line is not by the basket.
Yeah, this was an issue with Kevin Love. I'm fine with it. He's such a good shooter. He's a better shooter than Love for sure. And I honestly like it when he gets the ball on the perimeter because he can either shoot, and he's also super good at blowing by other centers.
He can do that, yeah.
So I think it's actually really valuable to have him out there and let Gorgie offensive rebound. So that's fine. I'd like to see him get more defensive rebounds. That's more troubling. He's not looking strong on that end. So, yeah, but yes, at a high level, I totally agree with you. We should be getting him the ball, letting him take these shots, probably even above Wiggins.
Let's talk about a couple of bright spots before we move on to good, bad, and the ugly. Zach LaVine, Brian, had a really nice game tonight. I believe it was his career high, 37 points, and I think he made 7 three-pointers, if I remember right, which was also a career high. He looks real nice.
Yeah, Zach is a talented guy. He's bounced back really well from that crappy Oklahoma City game, and Duke can put up points. I mean, he's at 18 this year. I think that'll go up. I think he'll actually probably finish really close to 20. We could have three guys score 20 points a game and still win like 35 games this year, which is crazy to me. But it seems totally within the realm of possibility.
That is so weird. I wonder if that's ever been done before.
I guess we'll find out. Timberwolves doing the impossible.
Also, Andrew Wiggins is a bright spot. His points per game average is up to 23 points per game. He's shooting exceptionally well from three. Not a huge sample size. Not going to continue, but he legit reportedly worked at his three-point shot in the offseason, and it's going in more. I don't know how sustainable it is or not, but I do think he's going to shoot better from three this year than he did last year. That's not hard to do, but that's really encouraging. If he can add a legit three-point shot to his game, he'll be a pretty complete player.
On offense.
That's correct.
So he'll be a wildly incomplete player because he freaking drives me nuts on defense. He's so athletic. He's so talented. Like, I don't know what it's going to take to get him to lock in on that end of the floor. It's just never going to happen. Maybe. He's still really valuable because he's insanely talented on offense. But it's aggravating to watch him get 4 rebounds and 1 assist. I actually thought his assist numbers were going to go up because towards the end of last year, it seemed like he finally got better at reading defenses and double teams and finding guys in the corners. So I'm hoping he'll continue to improve there. He had 6 assists tonight, which is strong. But yeah, the fact he gets like 4 rebounds and half a steal, or maybe 1 steal and a half a block, that's what drives me nuts about him and will continue to drive me nuts.
Agreed. Any other high-level points you want to talk about, Brian?
Gorgie was really obnoxious until tonight. After he got the big deal, he proceeded to average 5 points and 5 rebounds over the next 3 games. So that was upsetting, but...
Well, you know, the contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah, I know. So he just lost all incentive. It's cool. He's only on the team for like another 5 years now.
To be fair, so if you got a, what is it, $64, $68 million contract, would you sort of like party for maybe a week?
Yeah, like you would not see me at work the next day. If that money's guaranteed, I'm like signing it. I'm like, I'll catch you guys in a little bit. I'll catch up. Yeah, it would be really hard to focus. I'd be so happy. I'm sure he is. Good for him, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And he earned it by being super tall. Just kidding. I mean, he's actually wildly exceeded expectations for his draft pick, and I know I'm hard on him, but he's not a bad player. I wish he was a little bit better at defense. He does a lot on offense. He was great tonight.
You could say that for like our whole team, basically.
Yeah, probably literally everyone.
Well, let's move on to the good, bad, and the ugly, Brian. We're going to start with a 92-112 loss. This was at Oklahoma City. This game was within reach at halftime. Sort of that third quarter blues hit us. We got outscored by 12 points in the third quarter, and Oklahoma City kind of put it away by the end of the third. Brian, what's your good from this game?
The first half of Karl Anthony Towns came out like a beast, made some threes. I think he had, what, 25 in the first half? So that was very positive.
I think that's right, yeah. He shot 13 for 20 from the field. Pretty nice.
Yeah, so that was exciting. But then again, like you said, in the second half, it went from 8 points to second half. Finished minus 19 despite us having a lead early on, or keeping it close at least. And then, yeah, we just kind of fell off. So, obviously, Cat.
Well, I could go a lot of ways with the bad and the ugly here, but I'm going to give the bad to our starters as a whole. oftentimes the Wolves lose games because our bench is weak and that unit gets outplayed pretty much every game. But in this case, the plus minus of our starters are minus 24, minus 27, minus 19, minus 23, minus 24. The starters just got absolutely crushed by the OKC starters. That's discouraging. We should play Oklahoma City better than that.
I agree. And the ugly, which I will give, would be, it's kind of an inverse, but our inability to get Shabazz going until recently started out pretty slow. This game, he actually had a good one. Was kind of crap against Brooklyn, shot 3 for 12. But again, tonight in the win, he was very efficient, 4 for 6, made a 3, shot 7 free throws. I know I'm talking about a different game, but basically my point is, if he's not scoring with the way Belly's been kind of not the stud I thought he'd be in most games, our bench is pretty meek. So ugly until the OKC game, but then things started to turn around a bit.
Yeah, let's move on to this game.
Sorry, also we had 12 assists as an NBA team, which is freaking ridiculous. We had 12 assists, 17 turnovers, so that's obviously like the ugliest part.
12 assists as a team, not so good.
Half as many as them.
Let's move on to the 110 to 119 loss. This was at Brooklyn. You know, I know it's tough because it's an away game, but these are the types of games Minnesota should really be winning if we're seeking to make the playoffs this year. I think I'll award the good here. You could go a few different places with it, but I'm actually going to give it to Wiggins. He was sort of a chucker in this game, 13 for 29 from the field, shot 29 shots. But he got to the line 8 times, and he shot 6 for 7 from 3. And most impressive to me, Ryan, is he put up 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. So he filled out the box score on his way to 36 points, which was really nice to see.
Yeah, it's rare to see. I'm going to go, since I'm doing bad, I'm going to go with our inability to finish out games. So we cut it down to 110, 108 with Shabazz layup, follow up with a good defensive stop, Shabazz air balls, that's not good, Shabazz fouls, they make both free throws, we get a Zach miss, Wiggins cuts it a little closer again, then we give up a 3, Zach misses a deep 3, and Wiggins turns it over, and that's the end of the game. Like, I don't know. It's just very frustrating that we're shooting hard shots, we're not getting good looks, we're not running good sets, and it would just be nice if we could tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. My ugly for this one is going to Chris Dunn, just because I know he only played 16 minutes as a starting point guard. Tyus ended up playing 32 minutes, but that was just because Chris Dunn did not bring it in this game. His energy level was low. He shot 1 shot. He had 0 points, basically filling the role of Ricky Rubio, minus the assists, only 2 assists.
And, yeah, without bending the defense.
And 3 rebounds. Yeah, Chris Dunn, if he wants to start, he can't have games like this ever. This is not acceptable.
At least Tyus was there. Tyus, second youngest player in Wolves history to get a 4x5. Did you know that?
You know, I did not know that.
Do you know who the youngest is?
Garnett.
Yeah. He did it twice. Surprising that Tyus is next on the list, but yeah, that's kind of the ugly, is Tyus lying so ugly.
That could be a career highlight for Tyus 3 years from now when he's an insurance salesman. He'll be able to talk about, that's mean, but he'll be able to talk about
it. He'll right be fine. Guess what? He doesn't feel your insults.
Good point. Good point.
Our ugly is, by the way, ugly. Towns gets an ugly for his defense too, for kind of letting Brook Lopez go nuts with 26 points.
I feel like Brook Lopez has a lot of good games against us. I went to a game last year where he had like 34 points or something against us.
Also, I didn't know he shot threes now. 3 for 7. What's this? NBA is going to be really fun if even centers can shoot threes. Yeah, he's shooting 5 threes a game and actually making 36%. Good for him.
You know what would make it more fun? 4-point line.
I totally agree. Where do you think it would be, though? Do you think it needs to be inside half court?
Maybe like a step inside half court, just inside half court.
Man.
I wouldn't want it to be like a legitimate weapon that like Steph Curry shoots 10 4-pointers a game. I just want it to be there if you're down by 4 at the end of the game.
I agree. I don't get how it'd make it worse in any way whatsoever. It would just make it more exciting. The only way it would ruin it is if refs start calling like really garbage fouls on 4-point shots.
I think, well, how I would implement it is you have the 4-point line, but you can never get 4 free throws if you're fouled while shooting. Just because I guess I don't know. Great.
Actually, that's a really good solution.
All right, great.
You're a smart man. Should we go to tonight's game?
Yeah, we actually won one. This was a 123-107 win at Orlando. A little road trip we've been on. I think we get to come home very soon. This game was fun. We scored 74 points, I believe, at half. We're up significantly. I think the team record they set on the broadcast was 77.5. So came real close to setting that mark. Overall, again, our defense was not stellar, but we did let up a bit at the end of the game. But the big story for me here is we shot 23 three-pointers and made 13 of them. That's pretty atypical for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, that's a lot of Zach right there.
I mean, 7 for 9 for Zach from three.
Zach with his 37 points. Is that a career high?
It is.
There it is. Yeah, Zach's definitely the good tonight. Without that, it would have been a much closer game, 14 for 22 overall. Sadly, again in this one, I know we don't want to be so negative, but we lost the second half by 11 points. I mean, we came out pretty insane and shot the lights out, so it was fine. But another letdown, they went on a huge run.
I mean, we're almost up by 30 at the half. I'm not gonna fault them for not bringing it in the second half with a 30-point lead.
Who are we to not bring it in the third quarter? We can't afford to.
Yeah, we haven't blown a 30-point lead.
I could see it.
Quick aside, Brian. It's pretty clear to me, Zach. If you're to pick one player on the team to put up 50 in a game, Zach LaVine's your pick.
Yeah, it's either Zach or Towns.
I think it's clearly Zach.
Yeah, Zach's got the variance because he is confident and could just shoot it up there.
Absolutely. This was a much-needed win, though, I got to say, for my morale, I guess. Obviously, the Wolves haven't had a great start to the season, and coming off a few losses, this was a nice win. Orlando's not a great team, but they're a legitimate team, and we're on the road in a back-to-back situation at that. I think this was a really nice win for the team.
Yeah, and three dudes of 20 points. I know we're not following the format very well, good, bad, and ugly. But three dudes with 20 points is sweet, and I think after this game, Zach's average is up over 20. So now we have three guys averaging 20 points a game.
That is correct. We absolutely do. What's your good from this game, Brian?
So it's obviously Zach, as I said. I'll go with my bad. Bad. Chris Dunn. I know we don't want to pick on Chris Dunn. He's a rookie. It's his seventh game. But in the last three games, he's averaging like 2.5 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and shooting 25%. So not great right now. Things are not going super well for Chris. His defense looked good. He is a play of the game today. He had a nice little block on Elfrid Payton after staying with him on a fake and then went coast to coast. So that was cool, but really did almost nothing else all game.
Do you think he won the dunk contest battle in this game against Aaron Gordon?
No. I was talking about Chris Dunn.
I was talking about Zach LaVine.
I know you were. Yes, he crushed Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon probably shouldn't be playing small forward the way they're using him. He would be a solid power forward, so it's not really his fault they're making him be something he's not.
My ugly for this game is Bielitsa. We might have to have a pretty serious discussion about Bielitsa's emotional state pretty soon. He put up 7 points in this game, in 7 minutes he put up 0 points. Last night he put up 5 points in 12 minutes, and in that loss at OKC, he had 0 points in 11 minutes. You know, he's really not rebounding in those minutes either. For a guy who we thought could be the X factor on the team this year, Dave Benz also said that when he was on the podcast. That prediction feels ridiculous right now. That's not to say he can't turn his season around, but he is, you know, definitely not an X factor right now. I'd call him more of a non-factor.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm with you. After the Denver game, I felt pretty good. It's funny. It's crazy how much difference a week makes. I mean, Denver game, we're like, yeah, he's making threes. He kind of kept us in it at the end for a while before the starters came in.
I actually like legitimately think, you know, when he missed the buzzer beater in that game to tie.
Yeah.
That like got him down.
Yeah, I think it did. I think that's really fair. And then tonight was disappointing with his 7 minutes and no points. But I mean, OKC no points, but then also no rebounds, no assists. That's the part that's not good, because he should be running like a point forward on the second unit. Also, his defense has been awful. In the past three games where he's averaged about 10 minutes, he's managed to get three fouls a game, which is pretty impressive. That should be Cole Aldrich, not Bielitsa.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I think he'll get over this slump, though. He just needs to, I don't know. Do you think he has like a sports psychologist?
I hope so. He needs one.
I'd pay for that myself. Come on, Bielitsa, we need you. That's all I got for the games, Ryan.
I think that's about right. Cole Aldrich also has been a little underwhelming. I thought he would be better. He's normally like a per minute darling. He's been a really good rebounder per minute. I thought he'd get a little bit more garbage buckets or a few more garbage buckets, but I think he kind of is who he thought he was.
All right, let's do some fan mail.
You've got mail.
TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at TWolves. Podcast. Thanks everyone for sending in questions, comments, thoughts, stories. We'll read them all or respond to you, and we appreciate them all. First email, and I believe only email from the past 6 days, this is from Ben from Bismarck. Ben, thank you for the email. Ben said, hey guys, I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of games yet this year, but every time I look at the scores, the Wolves have major drop off in the third quarter. Who should I be mad at for that? Also, I'm going to the Lakers-Wolves game in a week and was wondering what the best food to get at the Target Center is. Thanks for the podcast, Ben. Ben, thanks for the email. Brian, I know we talked about the third quarter drop-off, but I'm not sure we specifically pointed the finger at someone. Who should we point the finger at?
Third quarter drop-off. I think the biggest person to blame is Tibbs. He's the one with the most experience. He's the one who's been through this before. He should be able to tell our young guys, you know, what to do and give them guidance. He's the coach. He's the guy we're paying a lot of money to make this not happen. So, yeah, that's the guy I would blame. I mean, when you look at the players, if you're going to blame someone, I would say I always blame Wiggins. So Wiggins because of his defense. But other than that, I don't know who else it would be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a combination of factors, but I'm going Thibs mostly. When you have lack of halftime adjustments, it appears he's getting slightly outmaneuvered, so I'm going to give him the blame.
Sorry, can we pause there for a second? So do we really feel like he's getting outmaneuvered, or do you think he's just feeling out what the guys can do? Because, again, it's only seven games in. The team's pretty young. He's going to be here for a while. Frankly, we don't need to win much this season. It'd be nice to win some more games than we did. But, you know, what do you think his plan is here? Because I think that he's a smart guy. He's a good coach. He spent a lot of time with other coaches around the league. Like, he knows how to drop a good play. But why do you think that we're being so basic, can't find our way out of these things?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a long-term plan, and he's sort of building up the team from a very base level. The defensive schemes we're running aren't super advanced. Our offense is simple. It's gotten a little better, I thought, in the last week or so, but it's still a pretty basic offense. So I think you might be onto something there. Maybe that's what he's looking to accomplish in the first month of a young team's coach.
Yeah, I don't know what else would be, because I don't think that
he's definitely a good coach. There's no doubt about it. He's extremely knowledgeable. So given that, there's definitely a method to his madness. I believe that.
Yeah, there's got to be. Also, interesting stat from A Wolf Among Wolves very recently. So the Wolves' net rating, which I honestly don't totally understand. Do you?
No, I do not.
All right. Let's say I think I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm sure I'll hear about it if I'm wrong. I'm going to go with our points per 100 possession relative to those we let up. Probably not right. Anyways, in the first quarter, we're number two in the NBA with plus 28.1. Second quarter, third in the NBA, plus 15. Third quarter, minus 37, last in the NBA. And even fourth quarter, we're pretty good. We're plus 11.3, was ninth in the NBA. So we've managed to be awful based on just being really, really, really bad in the third quarter. And we're like one of the best teams in the NBA in every other quarter. Pretty crazy.
It is crazy. I actually feel good about that overall. To be honest, I mean, that's my takeaway from those numbers. It's like, yeah, we're really bad in the third quarter, but that's not going to keep up forever. But the fact that we're pretty damn good in the other quarters, I think is really encouraging.
Yeah, it is encouraging. I also don't necessarily buy the fourth quarter numbers because some of the games we've already been out of by then. And the Grizzlies, like the Grizzlies game was over, the Magic game was over, and the Thunder game was over. So don't buy the fourth quarter. But yeah, we gotta. They should focus on that. They should think about that one.
Best food at the Target Center, Brian.
Best food at the Target Center. We talked about this recently. They finally got some better stuff there. They got some pagoda. They got some Asians.
They got some what?
Some Asian food. I'm sorry. I said some Asian. Some Asian delights. Sorry, I'm actually going to the Target Center Eats Twitter page to see if they've got any good stuff. Nachos are always going to be my favorite.
I got to say, the food there has not improved significantly yet. I have hopes for the future, but you might be jumping the gun a little bit and saying they've improved the food a lot, because they have not.
Well, based on this Twitter for at Target Center Eats, it looks really good every day.
How do they do it?
They've got two new flatbread sandwiches that are sure to please. They've got ancho chicken sandwiches. The nachos are still the best to me, and nothing will come close. But they also have fast burger, and they have some Asian delights at Pagoda. And by the way, I still remember when I was a kid, every time I'd walk into the Target Center on the main level, they had the mini donuts right there when you walk in, and I would smell them. I get so excited, I would go over and grab some.
Yep, absolutely. That's kind of a WNBA thing for me, get those mini donuts.
They're so good. God, they have them at the farmer's market by us, and I'm not a big farmer's market guy, but man, mini donuts, just something about the way they smell. It's just like oil and sugar. It's so freaking good.
It's not something about the way they smell. They smell delicious. We're like genetically programmed to enjoy that smell.
For sure.
Anything on Twitterverse?
Yeah, we got a good one today. Mike Lewis, Mike, who is critical of us, call us the Zero Man Wolfpack.
Which was fair.
Here we go. It was very fair. Are these new T-Wolves going to be a top 10 three-point shooting team? It looks like, sure looks like it. Tibbs has them firing a lot. Adam, do you think we will end the season top 10 in three-point attempts per game?
Man, my initial thought is no. Currently, just looking it up, we are 26, I think. No, I don't think we will. This is my short answer.
Yeah, we are pretty low on that list, so I would agree with you. Surprisingly, the Spurs are behind us.
And Cleveland's number one.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, but I guess not. Love shoots a bunch. Kyrie shoots a bunch. JR just does what he feels. LeBron shoots a couple here and there. That's actually pretty interesting to me. Who do you think is leading the league in three-point percentage? Don't look. I mean, don't look. You have to guess.
I'm not looking. I'm just – Golden State's the easy answer, but it's probably not Golden State given that you asked the question. I'm going to go with Houston.
Shockingly, Golden State's actually towards the bottom, which is kind of freaking me out. They're pretty bad this year. They're actually at 32%. That really doesn't even make sense, especially considering Steph just set the record and was like, what, 13 of 17 or 13 of 19? It was crazy. All right, Adam.
Wait, who's number one?
Who's number one? Your Minnesota Timberwolves.
Are they really?
Yeah, I was really surprised. We're apparently, supposedly, we're shooting 41%. And so if you look at it by three-pointers made, we're actually in the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Well, we're in the top half. But yeah, so three-pointers made per game, we're in the top half. And we're leading the NBA in three-point percentage.
Wow, that's incredible. Yet, a bit discouraging given our overall record. First in the league in three-point shooting, and we have a pretty solidly losing record.
2-5, yeah. Well, we're not so hot at the defensive stuff yet. Yeah, our plus-minus is – actually, plus-minus isn't that bad. We're actually plus 1.9, so you could say we're a victim of bad variance. Our plus-minus is really thrown off by that Memphis game where they didn't play any NBA players, so – we'll look to get better. I think we're gonna end the season. Honestly, it's probably gonna be like last year where we end the season close to even and plus minus, but we have a lot of bad variants of close games because we're a young team that doesn't know how to finish out games yet.
Yeah, that is the feeling I get as well. And
we're so smart just because it's happened like four times already.
I'm surprised the team isn't higher in terms of NBA rankings and 3-point shots attempted. Because I agree with Mike, in that it feels like we're shooting a lot more threes this year, which we are. relative to last year, but relative
it's true, it's actually a lot more. Like,
yeah, 50%. It is. But relative to the rest of the league, we're still, you know, in the bottom five, which is it's just surprising.
Yeah, and it's also been, to be honest, it's insane variance, and a lot of that was just Wiggins at Brooklyn going 6-for-7. I'm sure if you take that out, we're a lot closer.
No variance. We're the best 3-point shooting team.
When Andrew Wiggins shoots 67% from three, it's variance.
This is probably true.
Which is what he's shooting so far. So, yeah, but I'll take it.
Well, thanks for the tweet, Mike. That was a good one. Anything else, Brian?
I think that's it, man. I think we'll have some good stuff next week. I want to work in a little bit of, you know, curbing your Wolves enthusiasm. So we'll see. We'll have a special segment for that.
Well, given the attendance, I'm not sure the fans need any help with that.
It's been appropriately curbed.
You know what? Tough start to the season. It's only 7 games, though, right? I know you phrase it as 10% of the season just to make it sound like a big deal, but I'm not too worried about it. You know, I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs. It appears maybe we're not a playoff team, but it's still too early to tell.
For sure. It's early. We needed more of these bad team games, I think, to get our record up to where it needs to be, but we'll see where it goes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Keep the emails coming, timberwolvespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at TWolvesPodcast and on Facebook, the Two Man Wolf Pack. We appreciate you guys, and we'll be back in about a week. Thanks, everyone, for listening, including the international listeners.
Bye.
Bye.